Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Continuing in John chapter 4, selected readings, and to the woman at the well, who questioned why Jesus would ask her for a drink from the water of the well, Jesus said this: "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that was saying this to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you a drink of living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become to them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me some of this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord of eternal promises, fill us this day from the spring of your Spirit, that we will never thirst again. Amen. Many years ago, Joan Baez sang at a concert in Montreal. And she said something to this effect: "Lots of young people want to go back to the 60s. Now, if you think that was an idyllic time where everything was peace and love and freedom, it's because you're too young. You weren't there. Well, maybe some of us were there. If you had been, you would remember that there was a war going on and a draft. The 60s don't look so good when you remember that all the boys were being sent off to Southeast Asia and got killed. To us, that felt like a bad time. As human beings, we do this. Whether we lived there or not, we look longingly backward. And we want the proverbial good old days because, well, they look good. But sometimes they're just not. Well, okay, maybe there were some things that were good, or probably not a whole lot better than some of the good things maybe that we share today. It was just different back then. And sometimes we magnify this disagreement by the way we tend to forget the bad times, or just focus on the good memories. By that same logic, the place where Moses finds water for the people of Israel should have been named not Massa and Meribah, which means testing and arguing, but should have been named thirst-quenching and life-giving, or perhaps even serenity. It's curious, then, that it gets what appeared to be at first like a negative name of this place where they were. This week's reading is part of the long story of the people journeying from the yesterday of Egyptian slavery into a now of God's presence and guidance and love. It's not that God was not with them during slavery times. God was. But now the people are being offered something even more amazing: a land figuratively flowing with milk and honey. A life where the system of governance is based on God's wishes for creation, not on individual greed or personal preferences or political agenda. A life that is good and strong and godly. It takes time. It takes work. It takes a major shift in our thinking, and in those days, the Israelites' thinking as well. It would take a major shift in anyone's thinking. The land of milk and honey, a dreamland. For thousands of years, we have been conditioned to set patterns of living and behaving based on a wide variety of models. Some allow room for God's presence, and some do not, although they may pay lip service to it. During the story and an experience of Exodus, the people complain. When they are hungry, they remember how they always had enough food in Egypt. They had enough water. There were no shutdown of schools and jobs and homes and communities. They had enough jobs and housing and transit, no traffic jams and no crime to speak of. There was no drug trafficking and no one was hungry and the internet was never offline and everybody took care of everybody else. At least that's how they like to remember things. So it's intriguing, or is it predictable, that their approach to Moses comes with a blunt request: give us water to drink. Followed up shortly by, we never went without water in Egypt. Now, I wonder what might have happened if they instead have turned to Moses with something like, gee, water supplies are running out. Can we help organize some scouting parties and go out and search for some water? That might have led to more of a solution to the problem. But there are times in life when we are just not in the mood for a solution. We are cranky, as they were, and angry, and we get burned out. And we want someone to blame. We want to discharge our pain and our frustration and our anger. And too bad if anybody gets in the way. Too often, fear leaves us feeling that way. And certainly, we've had enough of that over the last 3 years, the last a lifetime. Fear, you see, leads to stress. And stress wears us down. We hold our breath often in today's world about what's coming next at us. And even now, we struggle to remember the good old days. I mean, the days before we panicked over toilet paper. I sure did. I remember that. To this day, I won't let myself get below 2 rolls. The Israelites may have felt the same way. After wandering around in the desert with no household convenience, only manna to live on. And how they longed for some understanding of where they were going. Like, how long is this going to take, Moses? The irritation began to grow. These Israelites may be on the way to the promised land, but clearly they have a long way to go. And they are traumatized by what they had just gone through, the parting of the sea and the Egyptians were chasing them down, and then on the other side, and they were traumatized by it all. I can just hear them now. Moses, let's just go back. And I want to look at that for a moment. I want to look more closely at that statement. Why would they want to go back to slavery? Why? Is there something in us that just wants someone to take care of everything and do everything, and we don't have to work that hard to live in true freedom? Granted, they didn't have a Stop and Shop to go to, but they had God, who dropped the manna every morning, so they were not hungry. I think I saw manna this morning. They say it's shimmery. This morning there was enough frost on the grass. When I walked my dog and the sun hit it, it was shimmering. And I said, that's manna. It looks like manna. Beautiful. So they were to collect that off the dew, and it became food for them. Sometimes it just feels dry, in life. Our journeys feel dry. We are parched, craving renewal and refreshment. Dear God, give us renewal. Seasons of Lent, I call that, not just this season of Lent, but they can be seasons of Lent in our lives where we feel like we're in that dry desert. And God does offer us the sustenance that we need in these times. The woman at the well in our gospel today was one of the first persons who experienced the refreshment that comes from freedom from her past. A woman who had been married to like five husbands. But she had to leave her past and the good old days, if you will, if indeed they were good. She had to leave that in order to receive the spiritual water that Jesus was offering her. You see, freedom comes with a price. It cost Jesus his life so that we can be free to choose God each and every day, to choose to have a relationship with God in Christ Jesus. Even when we don't see the promised land, the land of milk and honey, we are still free to choose to trust that God will get us there. God will get us there. But we must also choose to leave the past and embrace God's love and presence now. Many of us feel like we're in the dry desert of grief or sadness, sickness, danger, and fear. In those times, Easter can seem like a long way off. And we too ask, where's the promise? Where's the promised land? It seems like we will never get to the promised land of abundance where we find that peace and love and good health and prosperity again. But I want to encourage us. If we seek God's presence today, God will provide the manna along the way. And what is manna? Again, it is the spiritual food that God provides to sustain us physically and emotionally, but most important, spiritually. Because when our spirits shut down, everything shuts down. I have said it before, this is a spiritual war that we find ourselves in, and has been since the beginning of time. Since the garden where Adam and Eve were. We looked at that a few weeks ago. God asked them and asks us to follow the instructions for life and all living things and to trust him. Exodus 16:4 says, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction." God only gives us what we need for today, and yet we worry about tomorrow. God gives us what we need for today. The journey with God requires that we listen for the instruction for our lives. We learn that in the Bible. When we read the Bible, God will instruct. For the Israelites, manna was the purification process that God required in the journey toward the promised land, where they would once again be able to rebuild their lives and plant their gardens. The water was always available to them, see. They knew this. But they chose to complain instead. As believers, we are instructed to pray for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We ask that. Lord, give us what we need today to show up. It has nothing to do with our bank accounts or retirement plans that may or may not be on the brink of loss, or even our own capabilities. But when we come to the end of those things, all we have left is to turn our hearts to our Creator, trusting God to meet us each and every day. God wants this relationship with us to strengthen us with the sustenance that we need for the journey ahead. Manna also comes to us in loving relationships, in the relationships we have with one another, in Bible study, in prayer and discernment, using our spiritual gifts, everyday gratitude, peace, and offering peace, being peace, offering grace. Grace is a powerful word. It's God's most powerful tool, grace. But we can be forgetful in the midst of our desert experiences. The Israelites certainly were. Even though God miraculously parted the sea, Red Sea, saved their lives, and provided sustenance for the journey, they still complained. They wanted water, they wanted what they want, and they want it right now, and decided to put all that on Moses to miraculously come up with what they knew was already hidden in the earth's rich blessings. Hear me now. God tells Moses to take his staff and to tap on a rock, and out it comes. Most desert dwellers knew how to find the limestone deposits. Read hanging rock formations that collected water. They knew that. One good whack with a stick and out the water comes, fresh and cool. There isn't a whole lot of miracle in this story, really, in terms of providing water. But there's a whole lot of miracle in the fact that God doesn't stomp off in disgust and leave them in the desert and tell the people to fend for themselves. In terms of the Israelites, the rabbis used to remark about this story that it was rather like a parent carrying a child on his shoulders or her shoulders. And when the child would see someone else coming, they would say, "Have you seen my parent?" To which would come a rather anguished statement. I'm right here holding you and carrying you. We often don't notice the presence of others in our lives, least of all, God holding us in our lives, in our anguish. It's like the people of Israel at this juncture. They're no longer beaten up in slavery. Now they have relative control of their own destiny. They have the promise of freedom, new life that looms before them in abundance, and they will have the sustenance that they need to get there. So rather than celebrating, they just get whiny and they start demanding and they lose their faith. Yes, indeed, these days we seem to be living in endless deserts. Things that divide us, challenge us, and even cause us to lose faith. But God is with us, guiding our step, never leaving us, no matter what we feel. God will continue to provide the manna for us to sustain our spiritual journey and feed us and prepare us for whatever comes next. And we have the Bible and we have one another. And we have the comfort and power of a gift given when Jesus arose to heaven and ascended. He sent the Holy Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit with us, who will guide us every step of the way. So today, maybe even during this Lenten journey for the next whatever's left, 3 or 4 weeks, take time to seek God's presence, to discern what's good and what's going on around us, and then doing exactly what God asks us to do. And like the woman at the well, may we seek the spiritual water that God has already given us for this journey. May we seek the light of Christ as our source of strength and give us endurance for these times that we live in. May we experience the love of God of providing this manna for each day, the daily bread, so that no matter what the day brings, we can step into it with confidence and with power and with the love of God to meet all challenges. And we're going to face many probably in our life. We have, and we probably will continue challenges, and problems, we've heard it said, you can be part of the problem or you can be part of the solution. God has the solution. God has already given us the solution. Believe with your whole heart in His solution, in Jesus Christ, who freed us to have a relationship with our Creator, who gave us the comfort and power of the Spirit of God that lives in us. And again, as we come to the well of His blessings, know that we will never be thirsty again. These days are for our good, for our purification, as we step into God's holiness and awe and thanksgiving.